Welcome to the Kids with Big Emotions podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. And today we are diving into understanding your child's stress animal, which is a key, like a huge key in you being able to relate to connect with your child when they're in the heat of that moment. Oh my God. When you have a kid with big emotion, I know how much pressure you're under trying to stay calm when your child's spiraling. It is hard. And sometimes you sit there and you wonder, why is nothing working? Your kids are yelling, they're shutting down, constant push and pull. It's freaking exhausting. And you're doing everything that you can to keep it together, and still the meltdowns are coming. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to something that completely shifted the way that I show up for my child and my clients show up for their kids in the hardest moments, in the moment when they are having that meltdown. And this is about the stress animals. So it's very simple and it's a powerful way to finally understand what your child needs when they are in that stress state, when their anxiety, panic attack, rage, anger, yelling, hitting, screaming, frustration, shutting down, running, all of these things. And we're going to help you understand, based on all of the individual things I just said, what the different reactions that will help your child based on all of the different reactions I just spoke of. So once you can start identifying your child's stress animal and your own, this is important. So I want, when you're listening to this, to think about your stress animal and your child's stress animal. You are going to start seeing their meltdowns, not as bad behavior, but as a way of communicating with you to let you know what they need in that moment. And when you meet them with the right kind of energy, the connection that you have been longing for, it does start taking roots. Now, I don't want you to sit here and think, oh yeah, she's telling me something that like I should just be able to do like this and it's going to be easy. That's not what I'm saying. The concept itself is simple to understand. You'll start seeing it through a different lens and you'll be practicing, and it takes a while for your child's nervous system to start reacting to the changes that you're going to make after listening to this episode. So this isn't about perfection. You don't have to get it right every time. You're not going to in the beginning, just so you know. And it's about building the awareness so that you can respond instead of reacting, so that your child feels safe enough to come back to calm. And you, when you're in your stress animal, how to get you back to calm. If you do end up wanting to go deeper after this episode, this episode actually came because of one of the modules that I just created in the support circle, the big module. Well, it's all on stress. This is like the first module and everything else leads into it. So it's this whole framework of what I'm talking about now in a deeper dive, explaining everything at such a depth that any questions that you do have from this, I do go over that framework in the support circle with tools, examples, and how to support you to help bring this to life. So let's dive into this episode. We're going to start out talking about why traditional strategies fall flat when your child's dysregulated. So dysregulated, what the heck does that mean? When a child is regulated, they're calm. They're connected. They hear what you're saying. They're not reacting like hitting or yelling or screaming based on what you say, or shutting down or having a panic attack. When they're regulated, it means that their nervous system is supporting them in the way that they need so that they can think clearly, they can react clearly and calmly, and you can solve problems together. When they're dysregulated, it is super hard to solve problems. So I guess if there's anything that you get out of this, when your child is dysregulated, when they're hitting, when they're yelling, when they're shutting down, when they're in an anxiety panic attack, you can't solve problems with them. Okay. The goal is to get them back to calm so that you can then start solving problems with them. So those are two separate things that need to happen, and one has to happen before the other. Think of this, like, have you ever been calm on the outside? You, as the parent, you're trying to stay calm, but the child still escalates, or you're trying to talk them through something and they just escalate more. They start screaming louder, or they completely shut down. It's not that you're doing it wrong. It's that their nervous system itself doesn't feel safe yet. Their nervous system can't have those conversations with you yet. They can't process what you're saying. It just all becomes so overwhelming for them, and they either shut down, get really anxious, or get wound up. So a kid that is in a stress state, they can't see this logic or language. But we can as parents, as adults. When we are in those stress states ourselves, we struggle to see the logic. When someone's trying to talk to us and telling us what we should do, we're sometimes like, I can't, I'm not doing that. I'm just pissed. I just want to yell, or I'm just shutting down. I just want to retreat. You know, we do this as adults as well. In both of us, in our kids and ourselves, our nervous system needs that safety first. That nervous system needs to shift from, oh my God, we're in a dangerous situation, to, okay, I'm safe now and I can be calm. So it's switching from your stress nerve to your resting nerve, switching from your sympathetic nervous system into your vagus or your parasympathetic nervous system, specifically the vagus portions of your vagus nerve. So we actually need this physically to happen in your body, that the nervous system that your body is firing from, is using, shifts into the other nervous system. Literally, we have to shut off certain nerves, not shut them, switch them. We need to lower how much we're kicking into the one nerve and increase how much we're kicking into the other for them to be able to talk to you. With that, once we can start speaking and helping and talking this child through it, we can only do that after that nervous system switches. That's where stress animals come in. Because what is required of each reaction is different based on how that child is reacting, how us as adults are reacting, what we require in order to switch out of that, oh my God, I'm in a dangerous situation, nervous system. And I'm talking like dangerous situation could be an email comes in for you and you're like, oh my God, or like you even get a call from school. Yours might kick in. Or for a child, it could just be given too many questions on a test or being asked something that they don't know the answer to. It can be small things that puts their nervous system doesn't know the difference between having all of a sudden there's too many questions in front of them to actually being in a true 911 danger situation where they could get hurt or injured. In really understanding that, we have these different reactions. So let's go over first the four different stress animals. So the main one where you're calm, collected, playful is the dolphin. And we think of the dolphin. We think of this dolphin. Dolphins love being around like their families and their pods. They're playful. They're like, I want to say chirping. That's not the sound that they make, the however that is. The sound that they're making, they're wanting to talk to one another. They're wanting to play with one another. They're wanting to communicate. That is only what can happen when the nervous system is regulated. When you're in that parasympathetic or that vagus nerve, as I spoke of, that's the goal. The goal is to be able to help a child, not force them, but to help that child and ourselves. We need to do this as well to stay in dolphin, to be able to move into dolphin when we find that we are too much in a stress state. So what are the three stress animals? So I say that it's four because the dolphin is your calm one. And then there's these three that are in your sympathetic nerve, your stress nerve. The one is the shark. So we think about a shark. Shark is a predator. They're always on the prowl. They're always looking. I don't know. When I'm imagining a shark, which is why I created this one, I'm imagining that they're in the water and they're constantly surveying, right? They're looking everywhere. They're going left and right and side to side. They're constantly making sure they know their surroundings and they're ready to attack anytime danger comes in. So with a shark, they might explode under stress. They might get loud, intense, reactive, hitting, screaming, yelling, frustration. They might make a lot more hand movements and hand gestures. They may need to run. This is the big shark. That's how they react. Now the turtle completely shuts down. So you think of a turtle, everything goes into the shell. Their head, their feet go into their shell. These turtles retreat into silence. They may stop looking at eyes. They may avoid eye contact. They may very much disconnect with you. You could be having a conversation with them and they might even be looking at you, but they're almost looking through you. Like their eyes are just stopped, dead, glazed over pretty much. And they're not answering you. And this can be in varying degrees because they may be answering you, but not with emotion. If that makes sense, they might be with turtles too. Turtles tend to do everything that they expect that you want them to do. So sometimes when a child is actually behaving really, really well, and you're like, wow, that child never misbehaves, that could be them actually in a stress state as a turtle. Meanwhile, we see that as a very well-behaved person. That's very fascinating is when they do become into a turtle, it's interesting when they're really well-behaved, start noticing, do they ever misbehave? Do their emotions ever get like a little out of hand at times? Or do they get a little excited or a little very happy and stuff? Start seeing if they do a lot of those things. If they're not, then they might actually be in a stress state in a turtle. A clownfish. So clownfish, I think of this as Nemo's dad in Finding Nemo, Merlin. He is afraid to leave an anemone. He needs Nemo close. He needs to know what he's doing. He needs to like know what's going on and how it's happening at all times. And it needs to be in the most safest space possible. So a clownfish is a people pleaser. They try to fix the mood. They might distract. They're trying to make things better. They might be worrying about change. They might have anxiety and panic attacks and just worrying about everything. What are we doing tomorrow? What happens at this time? What are we doing after that? How do we do this? How do we get there? How much time is this going to take? That is when you can see them start getting into that clownfish. And it's different degrees. You might, now that you know these signs, you might be able to catch them before the panic attack happens. Because once they start asking these questions, that's when you know, oh, they're kicking into a stress nerve. They're kicking into it. And that's where you as a parent now can go, okay, I start seeing these signs kicking in. Same thing with shark. You might see a kid just starts needing to move around more. They might seem a little more agitated. They might be raising their voice just a little bit. They might start seeing like the body tense. So just the littlest signs, you can start seeing it. So you can start catching it sooner and know how to react. And the thing is that when we do not know, there's like our own stress animal as well. We often meet our child with the wrong energy. So like if you have a child that is a clownfish or a turtle, and you're a shark, which is me, that could be terrifying to a turtle child. And a clownfish parent that might have the anxiety and you might be kicking into, okay, we need to get this done and we need to work on this and this needs to happen, might actually fuel more stress for the kids. So understanding what your stress animal is as well, and you may kick into a few of these, like we might have turtles and clownfishes together, or we might have a shark for a while and then they become a turtle. And you start to notice these things that, oh, they're a shark first before a turtle. And why are they going into a turtle? Which means they're actually going into a further stress state. And you're like, okay, obviously what I'm doing as a parent is actually pushing them further into a stress state, or what's happening at school, whatever they're doing at school pushes them into that stress state. That actually, when you see them coming back out into shark, you're like, oh, they're getting out of the nervous system. Okay, that's good. They're getting out of it a little bit. And let's get them to the next step, to dolphin. So here's the thing. We do not want them in dolphin all the time. This is important to understand. We do not want them in dolphin all the time, because dolphin is this really calm state. And we actually need to tax and push our body in order to keep it strong. So when we're working out, we're actually going into like a shark state, right? We're pushing our body. We're getting our heart rate up. We're pumping our blood into our muscles. We're straining our muscles. That is actually, our body does kick into the sympathetic nervous system, into that nervous system of our stress nerve. And so it's really important to do that so that we can handle more stressors. We also need to kick into stressors. We need the anxiety when really the situation arises. When we are around us and we're like, ooh, you know what? This really doesn't feel good here. This feels like something I should be worried about. This doesn't feel like a safe situation. That could be shark. That could be clownfish. Like you might need that clownfish first to kick in. And then you might need the shark to actually fight off something. So we need these. If somebody gets hurt, you need to get into shark to run and help and fix that. And then also too, like with the turtle, if there really is an unsafe situation and you need to be quiet, then that is important. So we need to be able to shift between all of these. We need to do it though in a way where we are spending most of our time in dolphin and we're in the other ones when the situation arises and we're able to kick out of them. Okay. So we need to go back and forth in between them all. So how do we use the stress animal framework to start to co-relate or connect with our child and shift the dynamic at home? The first thing is what we just learned, is knowing what stress looks like in your child. Once you know what that stress animal is in your child, you can stop personalizing their reaction. And you know, okay, it's not because of something I just did right now, or it could be something that just happened in the environment. But you know, oh, they just switched into a stress state. Instead of being like, why are they worrying so much? Why can't they get ready? Why are they shutting down? Why won't they talk to me? Why are they like hitting and screaming and attacking things? Instead of saying like, hey, stop doing that, you can start reacting the way that stress animal needs, which we're going into in a second. This is where I do have full modules on all of these in order to really know how to react with each of these. So the quick and dirty of it is, for the shark, is you do not want to match their energy. You need to stay grounded, clear, and calm. So this could mean different things. It could mean that you're stepping away. It could also mean, I do sometimes yell at my child when he becomes like this, and I need him to get out of it when I've tried everything else. And it's kind of funny because I'm not matching his energy. I'm not like just getting into shark and going all over. I'm actually in a controlled shark, if that makes sense. And I will sit there and be like, I have tried everything. So I'm talking louder, but it's calm and controlled, not where his is like completely erratic, hitting things, yelling, and just being pissed, right? I even do this too, because then eventually he just like totally shuts down at times, but is still being mean to us. So there's still a shark coming in as he's also shut down and turtle a bit. And I will go, I have tried everything. I have talked to you nicely. I have tried to give you tools to calm down now, and nothing is working. So I am going to yell at you right now, and I do not want to, but I don't know what else to do. And as soon as I do that with him, and this happens, I'm going to say every 3-4 months. This isn't like a common thing that I do. Usually the other tools and strategies work with him now after like years of working on these things and building up his stress system and working on mine and all of the other tools that I teach in the support circle. So I'll do that every once in a while because we're all allowed bad days. We're all allowed to get dysregulated and all of that stuff. But if it's gotten to the point where it's just been forever, I'm like, this is it. This is just ridiculous. This needs to stop. And we need to go and do stuff. Or he's not just going on his own and calming on his own. He's still like around us, shark being a predator, still around us, poking us. And it's like, you can't keep doing that. That's when I'll get into that. So I'm not matching his energy. I am still coming in as a shark, but I'm not matching his energy. I'm a controlled shark. And it is fascinating when I do that because I don't do it often. He actually stops and it almost like shifts his nerves and helps him switch if he wasn't able to switch himself. Quite often too, he does need my support to switch. No, not as much anymore. Less and less often, but before I would get into that controlled shark, I would support him a little bit distally to get him to get out his tools and use his tools that he knows now. If he's unable to do that, then I support him with tools without him kind of really knowing and seeing and doing that. And then if that doesn't happen, then I become a controlled shark. So it that happens like far and few between. It might even only be once or twice a year now that I do that. We've come so far. But what really is important to understand that is like, we need to know our stress animal as much as we need to know theirs and what they need from that. So the shark, we don't match their energy. For the turtle, we don't rush them. It needs to go slow and at their pace. You give this quiet presence. So that's where I might go and make my other son the turtles. I might go make us hot chocolate or something that he likes. And I'll come back and when I leave, I might put on like a podcast that he likes or something calm and soothing, like a very calm soothing podcast or some music. I'll put that in the room. I'll tell him I'm going to go make hot chocolate and I'll be back. So I'm giving him some time and some space. I'm giving him very soft, gentle cues. And then I will go get us a hot chocolate and I'll come back and I'll sit there with him and we'll drink it. And we might not even speak, which for me is hard. Anybody who knows me, I like to talk. It is so hard for me to sit quiet with my child and just give him my calm presence. Sometimes I'll be like, do you want to do breathing with me? And he might say yes and he might say no. And if he says yes, we just sit there and do breathing together. And then after a bit, I might ask him if he wants to talk about it now. And he might say no, but he'll start feeling better and coming out of it. And I'll let him know that when he's ready to talk, we'll talk. So it's so different than a shark. And when you have a clownfish, you really want to watch for signs of masking. This is one thing I said before. This might be the child that is always good. So my child that is a turtle that masks, when we homeschooled, I got a call from the teacher of the year he was supposed to be going into calling me and saying, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I got permission from the principal. I just wanted to call you because all I hear are great things about your child. All I hear is about how every teacher loves working with him. All the kids want to be around him. And this is a kid that would come home from school so exhausted and so drained, and I couldn't figure out why. And I realized he was masking all day. He was saying and doing what he thought everybody needed to hear and feel and speak. Like, he's very intuitive too, around everybody. So everybody liked him, but he wasn't really just being a carefree kid himself. He was the quote unquote good kid. And it's been interesting too, because since I got him home, homeschooling, I'm also seeing like where some of his executive functioning struggles are happening in the schoolwork and stuff too, that he was completely masking at school. So masking is a big one for these clownfish. And it also can be for the turtle. Sorry, I actually was saying this for clownfish. Sorry, my son's the turtle that was masking. So masking is huge with both of those, with clownfish and turtle. With the clownfish as well, you're going to want to give them grounding activities. So a weighted blanket is amazing. They may have a stuffy or a blanket that keeps them calm and helps to ground them. They may like gemstones, of which I am so excited to be having somebody help me explain, because I know with my one child that believes in them and will wear them, it makes a huge difference for grounding him with his turtle and clownfish. And so with the clownfish too, they might need firm hugs. So a nice, not like pat, 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 but like just that holding, like they would get from a weighted blanket, what you're doing is really supporting their nervous system. You think of how many nerves are around their body. And this is where sometimes like you get swings, those swings that are whole net where a kid goes in and they almost feel cocooned in it. A lot of that blanket is, or that swing, that whole material of the swing is actually touching their nervous system. So things that can touch their nervous system. So for my one child too, he may want a foot massage, and you're starting to stimulate the nervous system to let that nervous system feel touch, feel support, feel grounded, so then they can shift out of it. It's not just praise for a clownfish. They need that grounding from you. They need that support from you that you're okay, which could be sitting and breathing with them, doing breath work, sitting and reading a story to them if they're younger. With my kids now too, it'll be sitting and doing an audiobook that's of their age, of the tween age. Those things are really grounding for a clownfish. Understanding yours and understanding your child's helps you regulate. And then it helps to bring that communication between the two of you. One of the clients that I've been working with, the client actually would go into clownfish. So they were anxiety, worrying during the meltdowns. They're trying to fix everything, trying to keep everything happy, keeping everybody happy, keeping the other kids happy, doing all of this. And the child was a turtle. And what they needed was the quiet presence. They needed not more talking. And so once this parent learned that and worked on their things, and let me tell you, it's not quite easy for me to stay quiet. But once they shifted and learned they needed to just be quiet and be present with that child, the child started coming out of their shell on their own. And when they were the clownfish around that child just dug deeper and deeper into their shell. So it's really, really, really important for you to understand your stress animal and understand your child's and how to react for your child after you have helped yourself get back into dolphin. You can't connect through correction. You connect through connection. I'm going to say that again because this is so important. You can't connect through correction. You connect through connection. And the stress animals help you see what kind of connection and safety your child is craving in those really overwhelming moments. And it will help you understand your stress animal, your reaction in the moment. So you start to learn how to adjust and react the way your child needs to get back to calm. This isn't about being perfect. It's about understanding your child, yourself, and the nervous system that drives it all, the stress, and switching into your resting vagus nerve. When you start from that place, everything begins to change. Everything. When you know that stress animal, when you know your child's stress animal, and you know how to shift and adjust those animals in a way to support your child, they come out of that reaction faster and into calm. And that connection between the two of you grows exponentially. If this episode resonated with you, the support circle is where I really dive into this, where I can answer any questions that you have. It's where I bring all of this to life. We have a full stress animal module that is inside that has guidance, examples, and support from me. And then you also have other parents that are in the support circle to guide you on the journey. The link for the support circle is in the show notes below. You can join it. It's a very minimal monthly fee, month to month. You can join for 1 month, join for many months. Come in and you can cancel anytime that you would like. There's no obligation. If you're going through something with your child, can need to be in there for support. And then things are good for a while with your child, you hop out. And then when a new stage happens, middle school, high school, college, any of those different stages, you hop back into the group and we help support you there, where you're also surrounded by myself and other parents just like you. That link is in the show notes. If you have any questions before that, you can also book a call with me to go over any questions that you do have about maybe working one-on-one with me or understanding the difference between that and working in the support circle. All right, book that call or join the support circle, and I will see you in the next episode.